Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on Michael now. We pray that he would stand on your authority as he brings your word to us, and that you would soften and ready our hearts to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please sit? Imagine, if you will, that Her Majesty the Queen is visiting St. Paul's Church. Apparently, she's eligible to attend Luncheon Club, and she's also heard about the Christmas journey. Think first of the police motorcade, the blue flashing lights, traffic moving out the way, and people lining the street with their flags. Two black limousines pass with the officials and security guards, and then the Queen's Rolls Royce with the flag on the front. By this time, there is no more traffic on the road, and everyone is standing and watching. Now take this back 2,000 years, into the hot and dusty desert. The king had been away a long time, and word was going round that he was coming back at last. But how? There wasn't even a road. Well, we had better get one ready. So off goes the herald, shouting to the peoples of the desert, "The king is coming. Make a road for him, and make it good and straight." That would have been no mean thing in the desert. The message of making the road for the king had been echoing around for hundreds of years for the Jewish people by the time of John the Baptist. It was part of the great message of hope, of forgiveness, of healing for the nation after the horror of exile. God would come back at last, bringing comfort and rescue. And this is what John is saying: get ready for God's kingdom. And John's message made everyone sit up and listen. In other words, they saw the blue flashing lights and stopped what they were doing to get ready. The trouble was, though, they weren't actually ready. A bit like us cleaning our house to then find out the Queen was visiting. We would have to go over it all again and make sure it was spotless. The Jewish people, even the devout ones who prayed regularly, could feel deep down they weren't really ready for God to come back. But what of this John character? Who was he, and how did he live? Prophets were a rare breed, and people did not know how to handle prophets. Nobody wanted them in their front room. And that is usually the way of the church. A prophetic voice is an embarrassment to the establishment. So John operated in the desert of Judea and became even tougher and more bizarre than he had been to start with. He was, though, a great prophet with a radical message of repentance to deliver to all. John called them to repent and turn their hearts to God, and it appears they did in their droves. This was done symbolically by washing their sins away by baptism in the River Jordan. And I, like some others here, have had the very humbling experience of being able to renew my baptism vows in the River Jordan. And if you can see the colour of the water, it doesn't actually look very cleansing, does it? We didn't go for full immersion, but I can assure you there were people there in white, being fully immersed. Thank you. John's message wasn't easy or comfortable, even for the Pharisees and Sadducees. They had religious pedigree and were devout people, but they were too proud and arrogant. They did not show humility, which was needed. So John used symbols of fire and an axe to burn the rubbish away and to chop down the dead wood so that new life can grow. Who here has taken a bush or tree back too far and thought it was dead, but to your amazement in the spring, new shoots have appeared? John was looking for real changes in their behavior, and in ours for that matter, and not just going through the motions of baptism. Real repentance was by a lasting change of heart and life. That was the only way to get the road ready for the King. Now, for us, living in the 21st century, on the face of it, we are a much more sophisticated people than the Jews of John's day. But in this sophistication could lie our downfall. We continue to sin and have so much to learn. The Jews were an occupied people and were desperate for hope. They were tired of just keeping rules and regulations, of just going through the motions. "Turn away," said John, and they responded eagerly. Now was the time to make their own decisions and not be governed by their forefathers. John, this strange but charismatic figure, I mean, he did live in the desert and wear camel hair and eat locusts, but he wasn't afraid to break with tradition. He was determined to speak for God and to prepare the way for the Messiah. He had an urgent message, and that message is as urgent now. The word repentance, or to turn around, can actually feel quite daunting, because it's not just saying sorry, or even I'm really, really sorry, but starting over again, taking another direction, choosing another course. Repentance is not just change for change's sake, but necessary, because we've become aware that our actions are out of step with God's. God's deep desire for peace and equity for everyone. Repentance, in short, is realizing that God is pointing you one way, that you've been traveling another way, and changing course. Now, whilst reading about this word of repentance, I came across the following by David Lowes. "Of course, it would be easy to overthink this and get bogged down in worries on where to turn around first. Do we tackle pollution, climate change, social injustice, food poverty? The list goes on. Which means it's actually probably not long before it's very tempting just to give up on the whole repentance thing, hunker down in our current and comfortable way of living, our biases, and just go back to watching our favorite TV series on Netflix. So today I would like to suggest we focus on three thoughts. And although the questions mention you, they include me as well. Firstly, ask yourselves for a moment to daydream about what God's vision would be for you. What is it, do you think, God wants you to be and to do? Daydream may be the key word here, because God invites us to dream something beyond what we can presently see. In some ways, that is exactly what the Isaiah passage chosen for this Sunday is. It's God's dream about a different world, where there's no fear or hatred. But maybe it's not a goal to be achieved, but a dream by which to set a course. Secondly, can I ask you to choose one, just one element of your lives for which you would like to repent, that is, change direction, and name this Advent as a time to do it? Is there an unhealthy relationship you want to repair or address? Can you imagine using your time differently and towards better end? Is there a practice or habit you might take up that would produce more abundant life for you and those around us? And thirdly, can I ask if you can identify one element of our communal lives that needs repentance, and to think how we contribute to that? Can we spend time volunteering at a local charity or make an additional donation? Can we get to know someone who is quite different from us, ethically, politically, or generationally, and try to build a better community in this way? Can you identify one communal issue and begin praying for it daily, open to how God might direct your time and actions to contributing to change? So in this season of Advent, will we hear the words of John afresh? Can we turn ourselves around more towards God and allow Him to be the center of our lives? Is there dead wood we need to cut down, or fires to be lit to burn away rubbish, so that we can see the blue lights flashing and make the road ahead straight? Paul reminds us that the scriptures were written to give us hope and see God's constant love and faithfulness even when we turn away. We can fully trust in our God as He did in a tiny baby, a baby who was destined to bring order out of chaos and transform death to resurrection. Paul, like John, was not afraid to denounce wrongdoing and pointed to Jesus as a better way. We need to turn to God every new day, but never become too despondent by our tendencies to be sinful. We always have hope in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who came to live amongst us and to give His life for us. Let us pray. Lord, Christmas so clearly affects us, the plans, presents, parties, and preparations of all kinds. It affects our resources, our time, our energy. But what of Advent, the promise of your arrival, the promise of change, the promise of a new future. How can that affect us, our time and energy and resources? How can that vision of you and your presence make a difference to today and tomorrow? Lord, please help us. Help us to find ways to rediscover and earth the promises of your life breaking into ours. Help us to be a little different. Help us to reshape our week a little. Because of this time of knowing that you are on the way. Each day, each hour, each minute. Help us, Lord. Amen. So let us stand and declare what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please sit as Caroline leads us in prayer.
To travel is to live, said Hans Christian Andersen. As we travel through December, towards the most wonderful night of the year, let us reflect on the journey. Has it been straight and easy to navigate? Or have you encountered potholes, confusing junctions, and hairpin turns in 2019? Lord, for those of us where the road has been uphill, bumpy and filled with unwanted detours, grant us strength and patience to continue, one day at a time, always moving forward to love and serve you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, many of us have lost loved ones along the way this year. The loss can never be adequately described, and at times seem to fill every corner of our day. We pray, be patient with us until we allow ourselves to reach out for your love and support. And friends here today, let us remember that God speaks to us in a multitude of ways. It may be a sudden word or memory pop into your head, a bird that lingers a little bit longer than normal in front of your window, or maybe the wind that kisses your cheek on an otherwise calm day. May we hear you when you reach out, God, to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As our country prepares to map out the political future of the next few years, we give thanks to you, Lord, for giving us free will to vote for our chosen candidate, and we pray that everybody will have the grace to accept that the blessing of free will also means that we have to respect those we may disagree with at times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In these days, Mary and Joseph is traveling through our church family as a small, beautifully knitted crew of good news purveyors. We should spare a thought for those who are forced to travel from home, to flee from wars or unsafe living conditions. May the guardian wings of your angels protect them along the way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of love, as we now prepare to leave your house and continue into a new week, help us remember that everyone we meet on our journey is a child of God, just like ourselves. Inspire us to help, encourage, and praise others. May we be able to transform other people's journey just as you have transformed our lives. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I invite you to stand for the peace. My brothers and sisters, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us greet one another with a sign of God's peace.